so apparently last year I didn't give a drasha on Shabbos. I guess we had a scholar in residence, or maybe I was a scholar in residence somewhere. So for this, the parsha shir for this year, normally what I do is I just give last year's drasha as the parsha shir. I don't know if you have to. So I'm always talking about issues that are exactly a year old, you know, or wishing mazel tov to someone that got married exactly 1 year ago. So for this year, I decided that I came across, I was provided with a very nice thought related to the parsha as part of the Smichas Chaver program. So this comes courtesy of Rav Eliada Goldwicht, and we will maybe elaborate a little bit on what he, you know, the Dvar Torah that he provided. Rashi writes in this week's parasha when Rivka is finally brought to Yitzchak, Vayivyeha Yitzchak Ha'oel Asari Imo, the Pasuk says, Vayikach is Rivka Vatilo Liisha Vayehaveha Vayinachim Yitzchak Achre Imo, that Rivka comes to live with Yitzchak, and finally she moves into Sarah's home, and now Yitzchak has Nechama over the loss of Sarah. And Rashi writes, Vayivi eha ha'oela varehi sari imo, kolomar v'nasis dugma sari imo, that she became like the spinning image of Sarah. She started doing things that only Sarah had done before. She calls mancha Sarah kayemes hayin nerdolok me'erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. When Sarah was alive, the candle would stay lit from one Erev Shabbos to the next. U'bracha metzuya bi'isa, and there was plenty of bracha in the dough, meaning they had plenty of food. V'anon kasher ala ohel, and there was an anan, there was a cloud that was tied over the ohel. U'mishamesa pasku, when Sarah Yimenu dies, all of those things are gone. U'kshabasa Rivka chazru, and when Rivka comes, then everything is returns. All of those three items return. So the Sifsei Chachamim on the spot just points out that those are not three random items that are being identified by Rashi. Rashi, of course, quoting from the Medrash Rabbah, that those are not three random items that are being identified. Each of those items relates to one of the special mitzvos that are in a woman's domain, that are in a woman's purview. And they are Nidu Chalav HaHadlaka Saner, right? So you have that the Sifsei Chachamim, Kenegel gimmitz mitzvah shanashim mitzvus ben. Kenegel chala bracha mitzuya bi'isa. Right? Because of hafrashas chala, so mida kenegel mida, there is the corresponding to hafrashas chala, you have this inyan of special bracha in the isa. Neged hadlaka, for the mitzvah of hadlaka saner, ner daluk, there's a candle lit in the house of Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. Va'anan kosher hu anan ha-shechina. When we say that the anan was kosher ala oel, that's a reference to the presence of the shechina. Such a stam. Every day was a cloudy day. It's like moving to London. No, that wasn't the maila. It's that there was a presence of the shechina that was there. That was the inyan. Vizel lekavod kedushas tara shayse zehira benidasa letayar atzma. And that's mida keneged mida of taras hamishpacha, of being zar benida. That when you're careful about Nida, when you're careful about Taras HaMishpacha, so then that's going to bring about a sense of Hashras HaShechina. So that is how the three line up, says Sifsei Chacham. So Rabbi Yehudah Goldberg just elaborated on the particular midos that each of these mitzvos represent. And I think it's very instructive, very beautiful idea, that it's not just that these are three mitzvos and therefore three brachos. Each of these mitzvos represent a particular Nida that will help in creating a proper environment in one's home, in creating a sense of a Jewish home, a sense of a yesod of a Jewish home. How so? So hadlakas haner, if we think about the way the Jewish people typically perform the mitzvah of hadlakas haner, so we know that halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that how many neiros are you supposed to light for Shabbos? Two neiros, echad keneged zachar v'echad keneged shamar. And then you look at most Jewish homes, and what do they actually do? They don't light two neiros. Most people, I mean, there are many people that do have the minhag of lighting two neiros, but many, many others have a minhag of lighting an additional candle for each child. It does not appear in Shulchan Aruch, it's not in Mishnah Berurah, but this became the minhag, that you light an additional candle for each child. So Rabbi Tversky, Zecharon Levracha, not Rabbi Meir Tversky, Rabbi Abraham J. Tversky, Zecharon Levracha, explained or elaborated that when you know, maybe the idea of this minhag is that when a woman is lighting neiros and she's being mespalel for her family. So, you know, when you're raising children, there are ups and downs, and children sometimes can give a parent a run for their money. They could sometimes, you know, be challenging and sometimes test the parent's patience and things like that. And no matter how parent-teacher conferences went that week, and no matter how much trouble was caused in the house that week, every woman takes a moment where she lights a candle and she thinks about that child and the particular light that that child brings into the world, and the particular light that that child brings into the family. And that's the first foundation, the foundation of being patient and sensitive to one's children, to have that sense of safanut, that sense of appreciation of what a tremendous bracha it is, even if there are many, many situations that may arise throughout the week where maybe it doesn't always feel like the greatest bracha in the world, but to take that moment where you see that, no, this is the greatest bracha. I would just add to that, that if, what was the schar for being Zayir b'ner that Sari Menu had, was that the ner was daluk ner of Shabbos ler of Shabbos. That if a person takes those moments to appreciate how fortunate they are to have a child, how fortunate they are to have that ner that was brought into the world, that light that was brought into the world, then even with all the frustrations, the ner is ultimately going to be dalek meir of Shabbos, ler of Shabbos. Those frustrations will diminish to the point where you don't see them anymore. All you see is the ner all week long, may erev Shabbos, ler of Shabbos. That's maybe how the Midah K'neged Midah develops to the next step. Hafrashas Chala, what Midah does that represent? So whenever there's a big enough dough, whenever a person is going to enjoy a lot of their own gashmius, so they have to take off a little piece and provide it for someone else and give it to a Kohen. So that's the, obviously nowadays we don't call them, so we end up burning it, but really the din is, it's Truma. You give it to a Kohen. And that's maybe the second Yisod, the Yisod of generosity. That if a person is, if a couple is going to build a home together, it should be founded on the principle of generosity, of thinking about taking care of other people, of thinking about how the light can spread from their home to other places, of what they can provide for other people, for each other, for their children, for their family, the nuclear family, and then beyond, for Klal Yisrael, to always think about those who maybe don't have the same blessings that they have and how they could possibly share those blessings. I've pointed out to you probably many times already that every Erev Yontif, I get that note on my on my phone. Someone sends me a text that says I'm making a very nice Yontif for my family, and I'm zochet to be able to do so. So I want to be able to do the same for another family that doesn't have the ability to do so for themselves. Meaning that a person, that should be the mindset, that if I'm able to do this for my family, then I want to be able to do it for others as well. That sense of generosity. And then there's Taras HaMishpacha, that third element. What is the foundation of Taras HaMishpacha? So it's often said that, you know, in the Shavuot Brachos, when we talk about the relationship between husband and wife, we talk about Reyim HaAhuvim, that they are friends and they are lovers. And the idea of Reyim HaAhuvim is perhaps that there are certain times of the month where you can emphasize Ahuvim, and then there are certain times where you have to take a step back from Ahuvim and build that sense of Reyim, build that sense of friendship, that sense of companionship, that sense of being connected to each other in a meaningful way. And that's what Taras HaMishpacha does. It helps to make sure to ensure that the relationship is such where the Reyim part of the relationship is foundational to everything that follows from the relationship. When I talk to Chassanim, I'll very often point out that when you talk about intimacy, you know, so sometimes people think of intimacy as like, and you know, we're not Dorish Arayos Barabim, so I'm not going to get into too many details right now, but sometimes people think of it in like a transactional way almost, like, you know, well, if it says Onas Tamal Chacham, Zerav Shabbos, Zerav Shabbos, a belt stump chacham, so it should be more than ever, whatever, you know, like you think of a transactional. The way it should be is that it's a natural outgrowth of the relationship that's there, meaning that the relationship is so strong that it needs to find expression in new ways, and this is a way that it finds expression. But it's not like an anomaly that even though they're at each other's throats all day, but they're still physically compatible. No, it's a natural outgrowth of a relationship that is rock solid, of a relationship that is strong and that's built on the foundation of Reim. You know, the beginning of Parshas Chayesara it teaches us the concept of Kiddusha Kesef. It could be Mekadesh Nisha, Kesef, Mistei Ephron. We learn from our Samach Pela, Kiddusha Kesef. So we always do Kiddusha Kesef. We don't do Kiddusha Shtar even, and certainly not Kiddusha Bia. But we don't just do Kiddusha Kesef. We do Shava Kesef. And the particular thing we use for Shava Kesef is a ring. Okay, that's a Ramah that we use a ring. It's the only place the Ramah quotes the Kabbalah. Based on Kabbalah, we use a ring. But what do you do when you use that ring? You say, Hare, Mekadesh Li B'Tvazo, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. Right, someone asked me last week. The chassan said to the kala, "Hare Mekadesh Li B'Tvazo," and he forgot to say Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. It was like, I guess someone folded the paper and it was under the fold. He missed it. He forgot Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. So Mekadesh Soveinim Mekadesh. No, what do you say? A bunch of future rabbis. Mekadesh, right? There's no need to say Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. What does Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael even add? I mean, everything we do is Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, right? I mean, why don't we say Hareini No Telulav Zeh Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael? You know, Hareini Maldik Ner Chanukah Nerus Chanukah Elu Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. Everything is Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. Everything Dor Raisus Kedas Moshe. Right. So, what does it mean Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael? So, Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson suggested that if you look at the relationship between Moshe and Yisrael, it's a fascinating relationship. It was not, you know, smooth sailing all the time. There were some bumps in the road in the relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal. So there were times Moshe Rabbeinu was throwing up his hands and just giving up, and other times that he was willing to give up his life for the Jewish people, to be there for the Jewish people. V'im'ayin mecheinina mesifricha. So when a couple gets married, the husband says, look, I'm under no illusions that everything is always going to be perfectly smooth. But ultimately, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, this relationship is going to be one where you will always know that you can count on me, where I will always, im ayin mechenina mesifricha, meaning that this, I will always be there, meaning you will always know that you can rely on me. I often, again, tell Chassanim that, like, even if your wife is wrong, if she's in a disagreement with someone else, she should know that you'll have her back, that you'll defend her, because she needs you to identify with her, to be someone who's there for her no matter what. And that's the concept of Reim Ahuvim. That's the concept of Reim. That's the concept of friendship. That's what a friend really is, right? Meaning, they once asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe, it was a secular reporter that was checking out what was going on in Chabad. Probably an eye-opening experience for a secular reporter. It would be an eye-opening experience for me, right? But probably for a secular reporter, see what was going on. The 3 o'clock in the morning meetings and the yichidus and this and that. So the guy was like, yeah, everyone's about the Rebbe, and the guy never even heard of a Rebbe before. So he said to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I guess they gave him some FaceTime to be able to ask, and he said, what does a Rebbe mean? And the Rebbe said, means a friend. The guy's like, well, I have friends. I don't have like this. You know, like I don't, what does it mean that it's a friend? So the Rebbe said, no, maybe you don't know what a friend means. I mean, a friend is someone who will not judge you, who will not, you know, only be there for you when you make them feel good and not be there for you when you don't make them feel good, will only be there for you when you're there to benefit them and not when you're not. They're with you through thick and thin. They're there to help you and to support you and to not judge you based on what you did yesterday and just to be there for you and to love you and to care for you. So that's what a Rebbe is. A Rebbe is a friend. But that's the true definition of friendship. That's what we're looking for in a marriage relationship. You know, Rabbi Daniel Kalish pointed out, I must have shared this with you because I was very moved by it, when he was describing the Jewish definition of love. Right, so he said the secular definition of love could not be more different than the Jewish definition of love. What's the secular definition of love? Secular, the way he had such a beautiful turn of phrase. He said the secular definition in the secular world, they are reporters of love. We are producers of love, meaning in the world at large, love is a description of what I already feel. So if I feel so, if you make me feel good today, I will say, I love you, because I love the way you're making me feel today. Oh, and by the way, as soon as you don't make me feel good, or as soon as I'm not feeling it so much, well then I fell out of love. I no longer love you, because love is just a description of what I'm feeling that day. And that's why, you know, you look at what Hollywood produces. Not that you should, but if you were to look at what Hollywood produces, like the hero of a movie is someone who had the courage to leave their family behind and pursue their true love. So they left their husband and three children so that they could pursue their true love, and that's the ultimate, what it's all about. That's awful. That's so morally bankrupt. It's ridiculous. But that's what happens when a society defines love as a description. We don't believe in that. We believe in being producers of love. That a person says, Harem Kedash Bidabazu, Kedas Moshe Yisrael, means when you make me feel good and when you don't make me feel good. When I'm happy with you and when I'm not happy with you. I'm always going to be here for you. Because that's what I'm committing to. That's what Reyim Ahuvim is. That's what friendship is. That's what a Rebbe is. That's what a husband is. That's what a wife is. That's what a friend is. That I'm going to be here with you. And that's why, perhaps, I once heard from a friend of mine's wife at her Shavuot, they always say this over, but that's why when you go through all of the elements in the Shavuot of the marriage, right, there's Ava, V'Yachva, V'Shalom, right, all these things. So what's the last one? Last one is Reyes. And you assume, Achron, Achron, Chashev, that of all the elements of the marriage, the most Chashev one is Reyes, is to build that sense of friendship. So these are the foundations of the Jewish home that perhaps Yitzchak needed in the Chameh. He needed to know that someone could produce a home the way Sarah did. That someone could build a home built on these three foundations. The foundation of patience and love for your children and appreciation of them. The foundation of generosity, of thinking outside of oneself, of being able to share with other people. And the foundation of true friendship. True friendship means true commitment, to always be there unconditionally for the other person.